Listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Pompeii, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We can also be heard live all over God's magnificent planet in every country, every state, every corner of the world if you have internet.
That's right. 1510 WWBC. You can hit that on demand live button and hear us live. Of course, a few second delay, but other than that, and you can also hear all of our shows downloaded on 1510wwbc.com and also on SitaMediaInc.com.
Right. And Miss Ellen Little is my co-host. My name is Sita Biggie, and this show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I need to say that more often. Awesome. Ellen, we missed you last week.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
Thank
and you know that
much.
My name changed, right? So now I'm Ellen O'Neill officially.
She's Ellen O'Neill. Forget
right.
The little.
It's
going to be difficult because for 9.5 years, I've been saying.
I know. And I won't,
Ellen
I won't ever correct you. I just wanted to let you know.
It's like me with the Sita Durgin Ishmael Biggie.
But
forget it, because when I go to the airport, the name is too long.
Yes.
So I have to cut one out. So, you know, for our listeners who are tuning in and anyone who's online, every Monday, Ellen and I sit here and we heat up the airwaves with guests from all over the country who call in. And guests who live right here in Florida that can come into the studio and sit with us. And we talk about topics that are going on right here in Brevard County, in our state, and around the world. And today's no different. Everybody knows that right now we are, what, almost 4 months away from the election.
Yes.
And we still have a lot of people who are not registered to vote. People who will not vote for whatever reason. People who make lame excuses why they should not vote. And people who complain and don't vote. And so it doesn't matter if people are independent, if they're Democrat, Republican. At the end of the day, we all want food, water, shelter, a job, health care, and a place to put our children to bed. And some of us who have children, we want them to have a quality education as well. So we invited the League of Women Voters president, who is my good friend, Jo Shim, to be on the show. And she's here. So welcome, Jo. And, of course, Elaine Harris is here, and Elaine is a member of the League of Women Voters for the Space Coast. So welcome, Miss Elaine.
And thank you, Sita and Ellen, allowing me to be here today.
Well, you know
it's
what?
It's going to be a great show.
That's what we have to do. You know, we are all in this together, right? And we're all trying to make our world a better place. We're taking what we learn from history, what we learn from each other, our own life experiences, and what we were taught, our culture, what we brought to America as immigrants. Jo and I are naturalized citizens. If anybody listening, we're doing good. And so we want to make wherever we live a better place. So I think it's very important because, you know, we're all watching what's happening with our world with so much hate and fear and division. And people, why? We have the same organs. We just have different color skin. And we may pray differently, but we're all human beings trying to exist and do the best we can. And the older I get, I'm getting more spiritual because I'm going to be leaving the earth soon. You know, for me, I'm already 2/3 there. And so I think we
have.
We're over 50, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Jo is here to talk to our friends. And we're going to have Michelle Levy calling in later. So the Space Coast history goes back to 1948, Jo. And you weren't even here yet, were you?
Oh, no.
So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the League of Women Voters here on the Space Coast.
Oh, well, I joined the League in 2008. And I was actually so excited about the election that year. I thought I wanted to do more. And so I joined online, League of Women Voters, and immediately actually somebody called me and gave me something to do and got me on a committee. And so I've gone on from there and become gradually more active. And voting is really the heart of the League of Women Voters. So we're very excited now. For the first time, we actually have a voter services committee. So we've got about 10 people who are really excited about voting. We've been out doing voter registration. Unfortunately, we can't do in-person voter registration right now. So we're putting our efforts into getting people to vote by mail. So that's one thing that we're working on. And we're also very excited because we have a student working with us this year. So we've got an intern who is helping us do our social media so we can launch a really good social media campaign. And we're working with other organizations so that everybody knows all the important dates. They know about our forums coming up and that they have social media posts that they can share with their networks as well, so that we can really get the word out to everybody.
Right, and it's important to get the young people involved because they know how to put that share button in a real good spot. Because some of us older gals, we put stuff and then people say, well, make it shareable. But the young people know how to share it to LinkedIn, to emails, to Twitter. Mm-hmm. And so, and you brought with you a good friend. You brought with you Miss Elaine Harris. And Elaine, tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends how you got involved with the Space Coast League of Women Voters.
Thank you, Sita. It's a pleasure to be here. And I got involved with the League of Women Voters it's been 2 years now. And I actually met Jo when she came to our church that we have them, the League of Women Voters, help us to do elections at our church for a pastor. So I got to talking to Jo, and they were just doing all kind of things. And when they got to talking about voting, I was so impressed of the things that the League of Women Voters were doing about getting people educated and giving them information about the importance of voting. So I joined with them. As soon as I got in, boy, they got me working. I was actually working on the nominating committee to help get new officers voted, and I was just so excited about it. So I'm very happy to be part of the League of Women Voters.
Right, and I'm also a member of the League of Women Voters as well, and I do my best to just be Sita and help out in any way I can with my big mouth, right? And Ellen, are you members yet?
I don't think so. I think I was a member 1 year.
Well, look, we might get a new person.
Yes,
we
need you.
Oh, you can totally get a member. So I mean, you know me.
I've got one more thing I'd need to say about the league. I want everybody to know that we are a political but non-partisan organization. So when we voter registration, we go out and we register everybody because we do want everybody to have the ability to vote. So we will go anywhere and register anyone. We think that that is really important. And we also think that civics education and getting people to be informed and take an active participation, an active role in government is very important. So right. That's our main mission and vision.
And you have different levels of memberships as well for people who are tuning in and would like to know. You have individual, family, right? So tell our listeners a little bit about the memberships in case they want to join. And where should they join?
Okay, well, they can just go onto our website and press the button which says join, basically. And our website is lwvscclubexpress.com. But if you just go and type in League of Women Voters of the Space Coast, it will come up and our Facebook page will come up as well. And you can get a family membership, or you can just get an individual membership. And if you want any help with your membership, just please give us a call or, give us send an email. And, we will do our best to make a scholarship available for you because we want everybody to join as well and to join in the work that we're doing.
So, Jo, what are the main concerns the League of Women Voters has about voting access this election season?
Okay, so I'm sure that everybody's kind of tuned in. COVID-19 is making it very difficult for us. So we are a little worried that if people haven't arranged to get a vote by mail ballot, there may be long lines. We don't want anybody to be voting and to put themselves at risk, basically. We're concerned that if you leave it to the actual voting day, that one of the problems may be sometimes they've had to change voting places and you may not get that information and you may not be able to vote because you don't know where your precinct has gone. So it's really important to check on that information ahead of time. And we're concerned that there's not going to be enough time for the supervisor to, because there's going to be a lot of vote by mail ballots. So actually processing those ballots is going to be an issue. And I know it's an issue for maybe not in Brevard, but it's going to be an issue for some supervisor of elections. So we're really concerned about everybody getting the opportunity to vote. And so we're just asking everybody to get out there. Just as an insurance policy, get your vote by mail ballot. Mm-hmm. It's really easy.
It costs you nothing.
Yes. And we have to give a hand up to our supervisor of elections, because if you just go onto the website, which is votebrevard.com, it's right there. There's a big sign that says, click here to get your vote by mail ballot.
I know.
Click here to check your registration.
Lori Scott is awesome.
Yes, she is.
So, Elaine, why is it so important to request a vote by mail ballot?
The reason why is due to the COVID-19, people aren't able to, due to COVID-19, everyone is worried about getting out. So if you would, and also, as you all noticed, I believe it was in Atlanta where they had the lines around the corner, people trying to vote. Some people were not able to vote due to the fact that the lines were so long. So by voting by mail, as Joe just stated, it is easy and convenient. It vote around your schedule. You can do it at home. You won't miss a vote. You could take your time to research your candidates, complete and do your ballot. Like I said, in the comfort of your home.
In the privacy of your home.
And you can
call a friend.
That's right. And you don't have to worry about it. You can avoid the long lines. And so we're asking, please, to vote by mail. You can call today. We have a number to call at 321-633-2127 or visit votebrevard.com. Please vote by mail today. Thank you.
And you often wonder why people wouldn't take advantage of the opportunity to vote in the comfort of their own homes.
Yes.
And vote by mail. I mean, we know a lot of high profile people, including our president, voted
yes.
by mail.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And people in his cabinet. We just had a list put out. I read it, of all the people that voted by mail. And I know I have as well. And I'm not that important, but I know I did. Now, Ellen, have you heard of any of the myths and, people have associated with voting by mail? Like they'll say, I'm scared to vote by mail because.
I don't know if it's been myths other than more sort of conspiracy theory kind of things, that
right.
something's going to be miscounted. Florida has a history, if you will, of controversial voting processes and so forth. So I think that's probably more of what it is. And then, of course, with COVID and all the things that are going on, it elevates everybody's emotions and elevates everybody's like kind of psyche mm-hmm. of that things are out to get me.
Right.
So so naturally, that's where people are going with that part of it.
Because I think it's pretty safe. I think it's very safe. I know it's very safe. And I want to reassure.
I think it's more about the accuracy, I think, than about mm-hmm. the safety.
Or maybe mm-hmm. it's about fake news that people read about.
There you go.
Yes.
But the thing is, I want to assure our listeners and their friends and family that it is safe to vote by mail. So, Joe, I'm sure the League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan organization. And I'm sure you guys have heard about people saying, well, this is what's wrong. This is right. This is not going to happen. Tell our listeners some of the myths you've heard.
One thing I want to address is the signature issue.
Yeah.
And I will say, when you get your vote by mail ballot, it is a little complicated. There's lots of pieces of paper inside. So read the instructions very carefully. But the last thing you do is you have to actually sign. And so the supervisory elections goes through those signatures very carefully when your ballot arrives. But there's also a place on the outside to put either and or both your telephone number and your email address. And a few people I know, or some people are afraid to do that, but we're recommending that you do put either one or the other. That way, if there is a problem with your signature, the supervisor of elections can get in touch with you immediately, mm-hmm. and you can sort the problem out. Also, I will say that I sat through the whole process last election cycle where they went through the problems with signatures, and there were very, very few that hadn't actually been solved before election day. And they were very obvious where the signature didn't match. So that is taken very seriously. But the other thing is to send in your ballot early, mm-hmm. so there is plenty of time. If there is a problem, then the supervisor of elections office can get in touch with you and you can solve that. And you can also track your ballot, yes. online, so you can tell when it arrives, when your signature has been checked, and there's four steps altogether, and when it's been counted.
Right.
You can keep checking, mm-hmm. to make sure that, you know, your vote is counted.
So why do you think more people don't take advantage of it? Of voting by mail?
Well, a lot of people have, actually. But one other thing I've heard is some people saying that it's not patriotic. But I think that just voting itself, any way you do it, whether you do early voting, whether you do voting on the day, or whether you do vote by mail, any way you vote, that is definitely a
patriotic. But, you know, if you wait, I mean, I used to love to line up because when we lived in Satellite Beach, we voted at the Trinity Presbyterian Church. But sometimes the line was long. And mm-hmm. what if you don't have somebody to watch your child?
Right.
What if you get ill that day?
Right. Mm-hmm.
What if somebody calls and says, hey, I'm coming to America. Can you pick me up in the airport?
Right.
I mean, what if your boss says, well, somebody called in and we need a nurse to fill this shift? Mm-hmm. I mean, many things can go wrong.
Right? Oh, yeah. I know at least twice. Because I had family emergencies and had to go to the UK, that if I had not have voted, I think then I did early voting, but if I had not have done that, then I wouldn't have voted.
You wouldn't get your vote counted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Elaine, what is the major concerns in the minority communities? Because I know that people, you know, like if grandma says something, then your aunt says something, cousin says something, and it just stays there. And people have all these, you know, in the information that's not true. So I guess some people in the minority communities, including friends from Trinidad that I know, they do have issues with voting by mails. What are some of the things you've heard?
And as we've been speaking, the things are they're afraid that their vote won't get there or it's not counted. And I try to encourage people to let them know it is very safe. They are able to be tracked. You can track it. You know, it's the easiest way. People were worrying about, well, we don't have stamps. You know, we can't get stamps. I want people to know that regardless if you have enough stamp or not a stamp on there, your envelope will still be received at the Secretary of Elections. They will not be returned. The Secretary of Election will pay for that vote that comes in. So please do not worry about that. But that's been some things that people's been concerned about is the cost of mailing it back. But please, and I try to express to them, you don't have to worry about coming out of the house. You don't have to worry about transportation, because a lot of people have problems with transportation, getting to the voting poll. So you don't have to worry about any of that. So long as you take advantage of just getting this information and us getting it out to them, providing them with the telephone number where they can call in. It's so important to do that. And as Joe stated, do it right away and get it done to make sure that you do not miss the time period of when you can get the request in.
Right. And then we have another issue. We have a lot of citizens who are what we call returning citizens.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we want them to be able to access how to vote.
Yes.
So, Joe, how do we help those? I mean, we all know the big thing that's going on with Amendment 4 and the fines and all that kind of stuff. But what are the League of Women's Leaders doing to help?
Well, actually, the League has a collaborative agreement with ACLU, and we're going to be doing phone banking to get in touch with returning citizens that we know, especially that we know do not have any fines or fees or restitution to pay to get them to register to vote. But that has been complicated now because the 11th Court of Appeals stayed the, just recently there was a judgment, a federal judgment by Judge Hinkle that gave direction for the next election, and that's now being stayed by the Court of Appeal.
Right.
So it makes things very complicated, but we do know that there are lots of returning citizens that do not have any fines and fees, and we are going to do our best through phone banking to get in touch
to
with
accommodate them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we should. But we also know that there are some very important dates. A lot of people don't know the actual dates for the primary, which is August 18th.
Yes.
And a lot of them don't even know what election day is. So why don't we go through some of the very important dates for voting?
Okay. So the first one I have is July the 20th, which is the last date. This is the most important one for this month. Mm-hmm. Which is the last date to register to vote in the August primary. So if you want to vote in the primary, you need to register by July the 20th. And the recommended last date to request a vote by mail ballot, you can request one pretty much at any time, but to actually get it would be July the 24th. And then in August, we've got early voting from the 8th to the 15th of August. So if you don't have your vote by mail ballot, you don't want to go on election day, at least do early voting. I think there's at least 9 sites in Brevard this year, so we have more sites than normal. There's one in every area. The 10th of August is the recommended last date to mail your vote by mail ballot, but you can also take it to your ballot. If you have a vote-by-mail ballot, you can also take it to any supervisor of elections office or any early voting registration site. And you can even turn it in and actually vote on the day, just to do a regular ballot as well.
All right.
So that's for the primary.
And, of course, we know that COVID-19 has impacted voter registration efforts by the League of Women Voters. What are some of the hindrances that you've seen?
Just for us, just not being able to do in-person voter registration.
And look people in the eye, because it's so important to have those expressions, right?
Yes, right.
And
yes,
so loved, you know?
Right. Yes.
And, you know, just to talk to people and to answer questions and to, you know, get them excited about voting, because there's a lot of young people who haven't really thought about it yet. So just actually, you know, meeting with them.
Any recommendations this year from the Space Ghost League of Women Voters?
Recommendations for
Any options for voting? Like, what are the main options for voting this year?
So you can still, for registering to vote, you can go to the Supervisor of Elections office to register. You can, for young people, when you get your driver's license, you can register to vote at the same time. You can also go to Supervisor of Elections office, and of course you can go online, the easiest way to do it, and register to vote online. It's really quick and easy, and the Supervisor of Elections office has made it really easy for you to do that.
Right, and Elaine, what can individual citizens do to help steer someone to register to vote?
Yeah.
What are some of the things? We only have 3 minutes left, so we have to try to get these done, but I'm just saying, if you meet somebody and they say, well, I haven't voted, my mother hasn't voted, and you want to shake your head and shake them, but then what do you say to them?
Yeah, I would tell them, I said, the easiest way you can do it, as Joe just stated, you can. Most everybody has a computer. Go online and register to vote by mail. That's what we're pushing people to do. And while you're doing that, please make market where you can, for all elections, to register to vote by mail, because that's a question on there that you can ask. And sometimes I will tell people, I will help you walk you through it.
Right. When you're talking to someone, I could help you walk. You could be on the computer. They can be on the computer, and you could help walk them through the process.
Right.
Well, that's so dedication. I can tell you that I just signed up. I am now a part of you ladies. I am now a new member of the League of Women Voters. So that took 5 minutes for everybody who's listening, and then it took another 5 minutes for me to push the button and get both ballots sent to my home.
Great.
For both elections.
Great.
So, really easy to do. But
Viewpoint with Seed and Friends. Educational, great. Informational.
There we go.
You.
And all of the information is posted, including the dates that Joe had just told us about the voting and registering and so forth. We're going to take a quick break to listen to our sponsors, and then we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Seed and Friends.
Portions of Viewpoint with Seed and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Seed McGee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9, that's cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. John Coffin.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita McGee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We are having such a wonderful day today right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. Where the show has always been, you know, unscripted, very educational, quite informative. And I tell everyone who wants to be a guest, who wants to sponsor our show, that we really speak from our heart. We really mean well. And we want to do things for our environment, for people in our world, for people so that they can vote. Because when you vote, today our topic is with Joe Shim, the president of the League of Women Voters here on the Space Coast. And I just want to tell our listeners, when you vote or your family members vote, you're voting for good roads. You're voting for education. You're voting for planning your families. You're voting for getting an affordable mortgage. You're voting so that you can have a wage that you could live on. You're also voting so that people can have health care. You're voting with that little stroke of a pen for so many things. And if you go to bed with a full stomach at night, you should want your neighbor too as well. And if you can afford medication, you should want somebody else to be able to afford it as well. because we're all in this together. And Joe, one of the things I learned from the League of Women Voters when I ran for office for state rep here in 2018 was that you guys are really nonpartisan and you're very, very fair and just. We had a forum. And so I want to know, are we having any more forums this year? Of course, with COVID-19, it might be difficult, but is the League going to facilitate any forums?
Oh, yes, we're going to have forums. So please, you asked me that question.
Mm-hmm.
So we, this year, to start, there may be other things, but for the primary election, we have a collaboration with the Florida Today and Eastern Florida State College, and all the forums are going to be virtual. So it's going to start actually this Thursday, and the first one is going to be on July the 9th, and so this is a really important one. It's the U.S. House District 8, and it's going to be at 7 p.m. in the evening. So you can, it's not going to be on Zoom, but it's a platform similar to that, and it will be on Florida Today's Facebook page, the League's Facebook page, and floridatoday.com, as well as on YouTube.
Right. Go ahead.
And the next week, July the 16th, we're having the County Commission District 3 race at 7 p.m. On the 23rd, the Palm Bay Mayor, which is going to be at noon. On July 29th, School Board Districts 3 and 4. And on August the 6th, Florida House District 53 at 7 p.m.
Oh, that's Ellen will post those dates on her website if she can.
They're there.
Oh, you're wonderful. So we also have in studio with us Elaine Harris, who is a member, just like myself, of the Space Coast League of Women Voters. And Elaine, do you know this year if the League is going to be making printed election guides available?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
And that is something people really look forward to, is knowing who the candidates are going to be. So it is very helpful. So we will be doing that again. Thank you for that question.
Right. And Joe, before we go to our phone, I know our guest, Michelle Levy, is on the phone. Michelle, thank you for calling in, and we'll be right with you. You can just join in the conversation and listen to us while we finish up this segment with Joe and Elaine.
Okay, that's fun.
Thank you. So, to Joe, are the amendments to the Florida Constitution going to be on the ballot this coming November?
Yes, there's actually six of them. And, when we talk to Michelle, she's going to go through one in particular. But also, when the guide comes out, it's going to go through, it will go through all of the amendments in detail. So that's why people like to get the guide, because sometimes the amendments are a little bit complicated, so it's always good to know about the issues so you can be an informed voter and you really know how you're going to vote when you send in your ballot.
Mm-hmm. Well, all we can do is give people the information they need to go out and make a well-informed decision, right?
Yeah.
And with the internet, my goodness, you cannot say, I don't know who this judge is, or I don't know who this candidate is, or I don't know who this person is running. You put in my name, and my gosh, you get a million pages.
Yeah.
You put in Joe's name or Elaine or Ellen, and we all have we have stuff on the internet where people could find out.
Yeah.
Good stuff, I hope.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So Elaine, before we start chatting with Michelle, let's assume you're in an elevator filled with non-voters, people like from Trinidad or from Haiti or Jamaica or the UK or right here born in the Americas, who don't understand what a wonderful thing it is to be living in such a great country.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them when they say, well, I don't vote because I think you're just wasting your time and it doesn't make any difference and all the politicians are crooks? These are things that I hear all the time. They're all crooks. Voting is a waste of time. I don't have time. Why should I bother? Somebody else is going to do it. What would you say to somebody like that in 30 seconds in an elevator?
I would let them know that is our right, that we have to vote, and please take advantage of that right. And also, I would say, if you're not registered, can I please take time to register you all right now? I said, because you can't complain about anything if you do not vote. So please, this is your time to vote, and I would make sure that I line them all up, make sure they were voted before they got off that elevator.
Right. And Joe, I know you would like to go into the women's suffrage and everything else with them, but you only got 30 seconds to say to them, what would you say to them when they start giving you all these cockamamie excuses?
I would just say, you know, like Elaine said, it's, you know, one right that you have. And when the stars align, sometimes you vote and vote and it doesn't make a difference. Mm-hmm. But when the stars align, it does, you know, it really does make a difference. And it may take a while to make that change, but eventually you can make the change, and voting is what it needs. And sometimes you have to look at local things. That's where you can make a difference, because what happens locally, you know, affects everybody. So maybe look at what you can do locally before you worry about what's happening
nationally.
Nationally.
Ellen, 30 second, you too. What would you say to somebody? I mean, you come across a lot of people in your business, and people, you chat, you give classes all over, and, you know, you do a lot of stuff. You meet people. What would you say to them, and to say to you, hey, Ellen, I just don't care. I don't bother with it.
Really, simply, just like both Elaine and Joe said, just tell them that it's really important for them to get out there and vote. And there's nothing you're going to be able to convince anybody, I don't think. Just educate. That's all you can do, is just keep educating people, and realize that, you know, the media and all of the hype and all the things that are going on right now are really just set out to divide us somehow, some way. And we just need to take our own personal responsibility and realize that what we do and what we say really does matter.
Right.
How we spend our money matters. Who we spend our time with matters. What places that we go to, all of that matters.
Well, you know me, I have a big mouth. So when somebody tell me that they don't vote, or their mother don't vote,
they better,
or
sit
their
down.
Grandmother don't vote, the first
they're
thing
about
I
to
say,
get a lecture.
You know, I just say to them, listen, well, you have no right to complain.
That's right.
And
right,
then
right.
I rattle it off. I said, do you have an affordable wage? Do you have a house that you can afford your mortgage? Are your children in public school? And they say, yeah. And I go, well, do you think the teacher has enough students in her class, or does she need more, or does she need less? And then I said, what about the roads? You got good roads with a stop sign? Have you ever traveled? Do you see how it is in third world countries versus the Americas? I said, hey, have you ever been to Trinidad? Have you ever been to different countries? Joe and I could do a whole show on the island.
Oh, yes.
And then I say to them, well, listen here. If you're on Medicaid, or if you are collecting food stamps, or if you, got pregnant out of wedlock and you're on pregnancy Medicaid, if you fall into the gap and we're fighting for you on the hot sun with signs by the road and giving money and time and effort to all these politicians so they get elected, then you ought to at least give us the decency to vote.
That's right.
Set an example in your home and vote. Mm-hmm. And I implore every family in the United States, find that auntie who is nosy and bossy and put her in charge of the whole clan voting.
That's right.
Because everybody have an aunt
That's right.
that will say, hey, you have children, you better vote. You're unmarried, you vote. You're married, you're voting. You're not anything, you're voting. Mm-hmm. And put that lady in charge, because she will get it done.
That's right.
And I know Michelle is supporting us with that. So, Michelle, what would you tell them?
Well, I always like to say that democracy is not a spectator sport, that you have to participate. I also like your point about you really don't have the right to complain if you don't vote.
That's right.
And, you know, it's really unfortunate that in terms of the percentage of people we have voting, we have so much less than in other democracies. And I think this year in particular, voting is so important. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, this is going to be a very important, significant election. And so it's just so important that people vote. And we're giving people so many options. They could go online to register. They can vote by mail. They can vote early. They can vote on election day. There really is no excuse not to vote.
Right. So, Michelle, you are also a member of the League of Women Voters, but you're in Orange County, and you're also on the state board. Tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Michelle Levy, how you got involved with the League of Women Voters.
Well, I got involved through friends. And by the way, I always like to say that we make great friends with the League of Women Voters.
Yes, we do. That I know.
It's a friendship.
We do. We really do. And I got involved because I wanted to help participate in the process. And most people get involved because they want to go out there registering voters, because they understand how important it is to vote. And when I joined, that was going to be my issue. The other issue I had was government. I worked for the state of Florida. I was a social worker for over 30 years. So, you know, I know how government works, and I think a lot of people don't understand that. And then we have so many young people who don't vote. And, my mother used to work the polls, as I've done, too, for the past 12 years. And she always, you know, in still to me the necessity of voting. And so I think if you get young people to start voting at an early age, I think that they will continue and they will do it. And I think that women in particular are really voters. I would just like to say that in terms of who votes and who doesn't vote, we find that women will vote more than men vote. And unfortunately, we've had problems in the past few years with young people, getting young people motivated to vote. I don't know, you know, why they feel it's just not important. It doesn't make a difference. It does make a difference. It makes a big difference. So I just
Well, women are the gatekeepers of the family. You know, women are the ones that, you know, has to do the budget and make sure homework is done. And sometimes men do too. But women take the brunt of this kind of work. And I think that's why you need that aunt, that one aunt or uncle that is going to say, hey, listen, don't complain if you don't vote. Because you have to lead by example. Right. I think you're absolutely correct. If a parent votes and shows the child the importance of exercising that branch of government, which is to vote, I think that child is apt to follow through when they're, you know, older, when they're in college, and then they'll tell their friends. And it's just, I think, like anything else, it's leading by example. And we have a lot of people that for some reason don't understand how wonderful it is to live in this country. And I mean, I've lived, you know, I lived in Trinidad and Tobago where I was born, and I had the, you know, the privilege to immigrate and be part of this country and become a naturalized citizen. And I tear up every time I vote because I just love it. And I think it's awesome that I'm able to cast that ballot, you know? So can you, so Michelle Levy, can you explain to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, what is an open primary and why does the League of Women Voters support it?
Well, that will be Amendment 3 on your ballot. And we support open primaries. You know, the League does everything cautiously. And we had no position whatsoever on open primaries. And so we started, and I was the chair of the study. We did a statewide study on open primaries, and we looked at every state in the union. And I want to tell you, there's such a mishmash of primary systems, you would not believe it. It's like every state does their own thing. But we looked to see why it was, and this is a conversation that I had, by the way, with Bill Cowles, who's our Orange County Supervisor of Election. And I said to him, we have a primary. Because of gerrymandering and other things, very often the primary decides who will be the candidate who's going to win. And we have such poor participation in the primary. We have, in Orange County, we had like 14% of all voters vote in the primary. And he said to me, it's because we have a closed primary system. If we opened up our primary system, we'd get a lot more people, especially young people. And the thing about young people is that they just are not into parties. They do not want to join a party. So if you are not a member of either the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, then you cannot vote in the primaries in Florida. Florida is one of only 9 states that have a closed primary system. Mm-hmm. So after we did the study, we came up with the conclusion that we would support any system which allows for the participation of the 3.4 million people who have no party affiliation. We want them to be able to participate in the primary. Now remember, everybody pays, all the taxpayers pay for these primary elections. Why are these people excluded? And we felt that we could get young people and we could get more people involved. And so we came out in support of that. And this is not the first time. It's very difficult to get a citizen initiative on the ballot. It's expensive. You need to collect over 700,000 signatures statewide. The state legislature every year makes it more and more difficult, and we've got one amendment here which will make it almost impossible to get a citizen initiative. So all of these issues, I think, are really important.
But do you think it would make a difference in our elections if we did that, if we had an open primary?
You know, looking at other states that have open primaries, I think it would make a difference. I think that the majority of people that are not voting because of the fact that they are excluded from the primary would make a difference in the candidates. Right now, the primary is almost used as a weapon. If a candidate doesn't toe the party line, then what happens is he gets primaried. And so what happens is you tend to get more partisan and radical candidates, either for the right or the left. In those situations in which you have open primaries, you tend to get more moderate candidates.
But and why do we have so many Republicans and Democrats opposing open primaries?
Because they want to control the party. They want to decide who's going to be the candidate. They don't want the people deciding. They want to decide. It's, once again, it's smoke-filled rooms where professional politicians would decide who the candidates would be. And they do not want the people involved in deciding who will their candidates be. And they say, you want to make a decision as to who's going to be the Democratic candidate, join the party. And the Republicans say the same thing.
Right.
So we, in our position, what we have done is we've managed to actually get Republicans and Democrats to agree on something. And what they agree on is they hate open primaries. But our constituency and not the parties, we're concerned with voters. Our constituency is the voters. Mm-hmm. We think open primaries is a good decision for the voters.
Well, we all see what's happening with COVID-19, and we're all watching it play out, that the mask has become so political when it shouldn't have been. I mean, I'm a healthcare worker, and I have to go to work and wear my mask and protect my patients in a nursing home because they're grieving for their loved ones. And I would like to see a day when their loved ones could come in and hug them and kiss them and love them up and make things better. But, I mean, this is going to cause a problem in August, and it's going to cause a problem in November if people are lining up, they're not socially distancing, they're not washing their hands, they're breathing on each other, and COVID-19 is still around. Do you see any problems with the primaries and with the general election coming up because of COVID-19 or other issues?
Well, I see a lot of problems. I'm extremely concerned about this election, especially the general election in November, where we might, you know, if cold weather comes in, we might have another peak. I worked the presidential primary in March, where this has just sort of started. And we wore masks, we wore rubber gloves, we were cleaning everything, we were trying to do the best that we could do. But it's unfair to the voters. It's unfair to the poll workers, mm-hmm. most of whom are older. It's just an unfair situation. And so what the League has been doing is we've been promoting vote by mail, which, by the way, is safe. It's not fraudulent. It's a way of voting. And we've been doing it for years in Florida. Republicans do it. Democrats do it. We all do it. The good thing about it, Florida, is you don't need an excuse to vote by mail. It's just another option. So we're asking everybody, of course, to request a vote by mail ballot. But we want other options. We want them to make sure that people can vote early, that there are enough polling stations open early. And then if they have to come and vote on Election Day, and we do have people who will insist on voting on Election mm-hmm. Day, then we have to socially distance, we have to have masks, mm-hmm. and the supervisors of elections understand this. So it's going to be an effort by everybody just to make sure that this process works, because, you know, if we can't have a fair election, you know, what happens to our democracy? Mm-hmm. And I think that's frightening now.
Right.
And I'm especially concerned about people thinking that somehow, you know, vote by mail, and I voted by mail for years and years, is somehow fraudulent, because it's not.
Right.
It's a safe way to vote.
Well, we just want to let our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends know who our guests are today. And we're speaking with Michelle Levy. Levy, right? She, Michelle, you're calling it Levy. She's calling in from you're in Orlando, correct?
Correct.
And you are with the League of Women Voters, Orange County, and you're also on the League of Women Voters, Florida State Board. And then we have our friend Joe Shim, who is the president of the Space Coast Woman Voter, League of Women Voters. Such a mouthful. And she brought with her a good friend, and we have Miss Elaine Harris. What a mouthful. I need to take a breath. Yeah. And of course, we have Ellen O'Neill, who's here, my co-host, and we're having such a great day. But I'm going to go around the room, and we'll start with Joe. And Michelle, stay on the phone with us, because I find it bothers me that young people take so many of them and don't give back. Mm-hmm. So, Joe, how do we get more young people to stop what they're doing and vote? Because I have an idea, and I'll tell you what it is when my turn comes. So what do you think we should do to get more people voting?
As far as the league's concerned, we are, when we could do in-person voter registration, we were trying to get into college campuses. Unfortunately, in Brevard, we cannot get into high schools, but we trust that the supervisor of elections is filling that role for us in Brevard. And I just think we don't give up. If the first time we don't make an impact, we will go back again. We are going to do more with social media and finding ways to engage. And
it's a shame we have to do that. It really is a shame. Mm-hmm. So Elaine, what would you say, what can we do? Because it is a shame that people live in this great country and don't exercise their right to vote. And it makes me very upset that they don't. But what do you think we should be doing more?
Yeah, that makes me very upset as well. And what I've been doing and starting on my own is calling. I know school's not in session, but the principals are still at school. And I'm calling the principals to see if there's some way that they can target the kids that are seniors, that's 17 and getting ready to turn 18 by November, to get them to sign up to register to vote. Because so many kids, because they don't tell them about it like they used to in school, to let them know that they can vote when they go to get their driver's license, they can register to vote at that time. So I'm calling all the principals around to the schools and encouraging them to please get that information out to the students. And I also want them to know that every vote counts. In one precinct, if one person doesn't vote, someone can lose. So it is very, very important that we not only vote in the precincts, in the primary, but in the general. They need to vote anytime we get the opportunity to vote. So that's what I'm doing.
Thank you so much. And Michelle, what would you do? Because I'm hearing, I look at the percentages of the people who vote in the primary and the percentages in the general, and it's disgusting and it's shameful, because these are people that live right here in this beautiful United States that enjoy what all of us do, and I get upset. I really get upset with it. So what else can we do to say, hey, listen, you live in the greatest country in the world and you have this beautiful system where you could register online, vote from the privacy of your home and the comfort of your home? What is your problem?
Well, I agree with you, and we did a millennial survey that came out of UCF, and actually it was partially written by Anna Eskamani, who is now a state representative, but I met Anna when she was still in college. I think she was a sophomore when she was working with young people who really, and I don't want to say that they're not interested in what's going on around them, because they are interested. They're interested in issues. They will go and they will march for things. But when it comes to voting, they keep saying, oh, that's not important, that doesn't matter. I think now, this time around, I think that's going to change. I think you're going to see a lot more young people voting. I'm hoping you're going to see a lot more young people voting. And I just, we actually worked last in 2018 to make sure that we had early voting sites on campuses. I know some, in Volusia County, they weren't able to, but we had on-site voting at UCF and at Valencia College, and in the University of Florida, we had set it up in the seniors in the center, the student center. So that was important, is to make it, as easy as possible for them to vote. I don't think a lot of them want to vote by mail, but they'll come out and they'll vote, and we're hoping they will come out early and vote.
What I'm thinking is that we need to cut off the Wi-Fi the day before Election Day and say to them, if you want Wi-Fi, vote, bring me your sticker, and then when it's all done, midnight, Wi-Fi goes back on.
But
Ellen, and Ellen, you know this is very important. If a parent knows there's children in that home and they're not registered, guess what? You threaten them with Wi-Fi. Go ahead, Ellen, take it from here.
Threaten them with a scrambler. Absolutely. I play music, and you know that. And every gig that we have, I always mention. I say, I don't care what side of the fence that you're on. just go make a difference. Go make a difference in your community. Make a difference in your families, and make a difference in just the world that you live in.
Well, business owners have a responsibility as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
If you're a business owner and you have people working for you who are older or younger or middle-aged, look at the demographics, and maybe the young people with children, let them off a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Don't complain you don't have health insurance. Don't complain you can't afford, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield or Aetna or whatever for your employees, and you fall in a gap and you can't get Medicaid, or people calling in sick because they can't afford cough syrup for their kid. But let the people off early to vote. That's and the older ones, be kind. Let the young ones go early, and you go in the morning and come and work.
That's right.
I mean, come on. We're all in this together. But I don't understand.
You could also make it an option. You either get off early, or we sign you up for a mail.
Oh, vote by mail. That's and avoid all of this
and
nonsense.
And we'll do it all together. Right. Even if they did it all together.
I just feel like, you know, I have friends who are Republicans, Democrats. They're from all walks of life. They're rich. They're poor. Hindus, Muslims, Christians. And I find that a lot of immigrants take voting very, very seriously, whereas people who had the gift of being born in this land, a lot of them don't. So, Joe, take it from there, because you're nodding about that.
Well, I take it very seriously, too, and there were many years I was here and couldn't vote, so when I got the vote back again and became a citizen, that was a wonderful thing to me. So I would say to everybody, please, everybody can play a role here. Parents, grandparents, young people, talk to your friends. Just talk to them about, say, have you got your vote by mail ballot? Are you registered? Can you vote in the primary? Have you looked up who the candidates are? Have you checked your registration on the supervisor of elections office? And together, if we talk to our friends and relatives, I think we can all make a difference.
And you know what? To food, maybe we should say, "Hey, you vote, I'll give you a slice of pizza." I said, "Michelle, you're laughing about that." Yeah, Elaine, you think that might work?
That would work.
A barbecue at Nana's house for all those who voted, and if you didn't vote, don't come. What do you think, Michelle?
I think that'll work.
That's a good idea.
I think the grandmothers and mothers and cousins and aunts who are older and experienced and wiser and knows how women fight for the right to vote and knows how young people are wasting their time and not voting, we should say, hey, listen, this Christmas, you're not coming if you didn't vote.
That's right.
No Christmas meal for you. I would do it.
I know you would. And you would hold the line. I know you would.
Because I think in life, if you want something done, you have to set the example.
Correct.
And if you're not setting the example and being firm about it, life is about choice and responsibility. So take your responsibility to get somebody into office, whether local, national, or in the White House, seriously.
Where it's going to mean the most. Right.
Don't
here
complain.
On Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, if you go to our page, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, make sure that you look up all of the information that we posted and get all of the links, because I've posted all of them. Thank you so much to Michelle Levy for joining us, to Elaine Harris for joining us, of course,
Thank
Joe
you.
Shim. All League of Women Voters, if you have questions, please call us. Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We'll see you next week.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
And you're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, FM 94.7. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco Rockledge.